actually Corinne Sensei and her students, and of course my students, and then my Dharma sisters, who I also see here, a couple of them. We have, you know, this is quite an amazing thing. We're covering Europe from Lisbon to Hamburg and over to London and all the points in between. It's delightful that we're all here together for this exceptional event. Hopefully these will be not so exceptional as we advance in the year, but so I will briefly introduce, for those of you who don't know Corinne Sensei, many of my students know her already because you've seen her in retreats, particularly when she came to Portugal and we spent a wonderful week with her and some of her students. So Corinne Sensei, joie partagée, has been my comrade on this Dharma path for nearly 30 years. And she is the founder. She is also a successor of Gena Roshi. And she is the founder and the spiritual director of Genjuan in Hamburg. She's sitting in her zendo at this moment, alone, of course, because of the sanitary situation, but I recognize the zendo. And she is a great storyteller. She tells fantastic jokes. That's why her name is Joie Partagée, which means, you know, to share joy. I'm looking forward to, she's going to speak tonight about a koan that is in a wonderful book by two women Roshis who are also from the White Plum lineage, Eve Mionen Marco and Wendy Egyoku Nakao. Love to hear what Corinne Sensei has to say, and there'll be some time for you to ask questions after. So I hand it over to my Dharma sister. Thank you
very much, Amy. I'm just going to get up and turn on another light because I see that there is not enough light for me to read the koan. So I'll be back in a second. So, okay. So good evening, everybody. I'm really impressed by the number of participants. It's just wonderful. In all this corona disaster, one side that I really enjoyed, appreciate, is that we have this wonderful opportunity to meet in a way we could not if we would have to travel and go to the different sanghas. So this is something really great. And I talked with my Dharma sister, with Amy Roshi, and also with Frank Roshi. And I see Tanya also there, my Dharma sister. And we thought that eventually, even when corona restrictions will be over, that somehow we could keep every now and then this kind of meeting, because it's really very wonderful. And okay, so I will dive into this koan I chose tonight. I just thought while we were sitting that I really chose an ambitious koan for the evening. I hope we are not all too tired and that we will be able to dig into this subject somehow, after having had probably, like most of you, already a working day, and we'll see. So as Amy pointed out, it's a koan from the Book of Householder Koans, which I think is very wonderful. And I will read the text to you. There is a little verse to begin with, but I'm not going to quote this because I think it's going to be too much, because I have another small excerpt from a text of Dogen, which I will read also, and that will be enough. So this text goes like this. When James was head cook for a retreat, He told the teacher he heard kale greens screaming from the boiling soup pot. The teacher said, "You should speak to Seppo about this." Seppo was the head cook in a Chinese monastery 12 centuries ago. "But Seppo is long dead," James replied. "Can't you hear him screaming?" asked the teacher. So that's the koan. It's only after I chose it that I realized that there is a possible association to caldo verde for our Portuguese participants. Okay. So there are two aspects in this koan which I think are very interesting. Of course, it is pointing to when James the cook says, "I heard the kale screaming," and the teacher says, "Well, you should talk to Seppo about it, who is a long time gone Zen master." And James replies, "But he's dead. He has been dead for a long time." And the teacher answers, "Can't you hear him screaming?" So what we see is, if we look a little bit into this koan, that it's pointing, of course, to non-separation. It's pointing to that everything is connected, that we are all connected, you know. I think this is something that if we have been practicing Zen for a time, that we are maybe getting used to hearing this very often, you know, that we hear it in Dharma talks or we read it in Zen literature, that the cause, the source of suffering is the notion of separation, is the mind of separation, as I like to say. So that's the longing we have, is to go beyond, to be able to go, to reach beyond this mind of separation. Now there is one aspect that's really, I must say, my favorite topic. It has been my favorite topic for quite a while, and the Sangha members of Genjuan know it, because I've been talking quite often about it, and eventually maybe sometimes they think, oh, Sensei could start talking about something else. But I think it's just really, it's worth digging into it. And this is the aspect of time. There is this reference in this koan that the teacher says, "Speak to Seppo about it." And James answers, "But he's long dead. He's gone. I mean, how can I talk to someone who's not here anymore?" So this is a very interesting aspect, because in our, as I would say, the in this usual mind of separation, as I said, our normal, I mean, very familiar sense of individual separated identity is very much situated in time. It's without time. It's, you cannot think about yourself without having a notion of, as I like to put it, of before, now, and after. You know, I've been doing this yesterday. Like, you wake up in the morning, and of course you have the feeling you are the same person as the one who went to sleep, hopefully. Otherwise, I think we would all have a problem. So then we get up and we think of everything that we have, we have most of the time a list of things that we hope we will be able to organize during the day, and hopefully in the evening we will be able to say, okay, I've done nearly everything that I planned to do. Then we might be sitting somewhere, maybe in the evening, with a friend. We drink a glass of wine and we start telling each other stories like, do you remember when we were doing this? Wasn't that nice? Or even the other possibility, do you remember this holiday we spent there and there, and the hotel was just horrible and the people were horrible? You know, both possibilities, but it's always a notion, even if we have the feeling we are very much, you know, let's say we are in a meditation practice and we are invited to sit down for Zazen as we have been doing for 20 minutes and we are taught now, be here now. Even then, in a certain way, being present is still something that we localize, I would say, in time. Yeah, it's always embedded, in fact, in a sort of in a dimension where we have the feeling it's passing by. It's passing by. There is the moment that was just there. There is this moment, and there is the moment that hopefully is going to come. And now this is a very interesting aspect. There is a text by Dogen that he wrote, I think I wrote it down in 1200, it's in the 13th century, and he wrote it in 1240. It's considered to be one of the most, how should I say, esoteric, but also most deep texts of Dogen. It's a fascicle of the Shobogenzo. In fact, it is the 16th fascicle, and it's a fascicle that is called Uji. And Uji is, if you translate it, Uji means in a way sometime or for the time being, which means, yeah, for the time being actually is a very good translation. But Dogen is playing with this definition, like Uji. It's difficult to translate it because we could also drop the for and say time being, which means actually it's that time and being is one and the same thing. So what is very interesting in this text of Dogen, and this is what I think is an aspect, a very interesting and thrilling aspect actually of this koan, is that not only as we are used to look in our practice, that we are not separated, you know, from all the dharmas, we are not separated from all the appearances, we are not separated from all the things that surround us, we are not separated from our experiences, our thoughts, our feelings. But there is this one aspect we probably not think usually, it's not really at hand, that we are also not separated from time. And it's not only that we are not separated from time, but Dogen points out we are time. Time and ourselves, time and me, is one and the same thing. So I will read you this. It's there are different translations. I will read you this little text, which I think is really very interesting and can be something to be interesting to look at in when we sit in Zazen. You know, it's something we can really, like in a washing machine, you know, we can turn it around a little bit and see what it does. So this is an extract, a small extract of this text of Dogen, Uji, and it says, all things exist within us. Each thing, each being in this world is time. That's an interesting thing to say. Each thing is time. No thing hinders or fights another one, as well as time never obstructs another time. We could also say no moment obstructs another moment. Of course not. When we decide to attain the highest realization, In that same moment, the whole world is taking the same decision. Oh, wonderful, a cat. Here, there is no difference between your mind and time. By your decision to attain enlightenment, you are entangled. You are completely interrelated, we could say. This applies as well for your praxis, and for accomplishing the way. We contain the whole world. This is the principle of we ourselves are time. Inquire the principle that everything in the world is time. Every single moment contains the whole world. That means too that all past moments are contained in the present moment. Past time is continually contained in present time. If time was really passing by, then we would be separated from time. Time is not separated from you, and as you are present, time does not go away. So I will leave it to that. So it's a little bit excerpts I took out of this text. I hope it was not too much and you could follow. But to me, it speaks a lot that is an aspect that we would not immediately think of, that we are not separated from time. And if we are not separated from time, and we really realize that we are time, this changes completely our perspective on who we truly are. If I can see myself, if I can really have a deep realization of myself as being time, yeah, Uji, being time, no separation between who I am and time, this identification with a separated identity that we usually have just really melts away in an absolutely effortless way, you know. It's really by inquiring what time is, and you can find it also in other spiritual traditions, like another sage, a very wise and enlightened person from a totally different tradition, whom I really have a lot of respect and admiration for, is Nisargadatta Maharaj, for instance. Some of you might have heard from him. He's more, he was an Indian sage and is more in the Advaita, what is called the Advaita tradition. He speaks also very much about this, that he says that this, what he calls, is to investigate in the, well, it's not really a thought, but in the feeling of being, in this immediate experience that is very natural to us. We know that we are. In every moment, we know that we are. Yeah, we even know that we are before we would say, I know I am Corinne, and I was born here, and now I'm sitting in the Zendo and speaking to Zen Flower Sangha and Genjuan Sangha. Before I tell all these things to myself, I very naturally know that I am. You know, if someone would come in here and say, are you? I would say, of course, yeah, I am, you see. And now the interesting thing is that this I am, when I look closely into it, is like like it is familiar to us, we would situate this in time. Yeah. So actually, if we completely are one, which if we realize, actually it's not if we are, if we realize the being one with I am, with being, immediately we can have a notion also of not being separated from time. And the interesting thing is that in this very moment, it's nothing difficult. I would even say it sounds difficult, and we might say, oh, but I need 30 years of practice for that. No, it's not. Because it's only a matter of being ready to really looking closely at it, to really simply looking closely at this feeling of, I'm here, you know, I am, I have a very strong feeling of being, of beingness. And if I investigate it, if I look at it from the point of view of time, I realize that it's not separated from time. Why is it not so? Because in that moment where this being time is there, the linear time, which we usually have, which I would say is the one from our clock or from the calendar, where we would say, yesterday I made this, tomorrow I'm going to do this, at lunch I had this and this for food, yeah, tomorrow I have to call my mother, things like that. We realize that these thoughts, this feeling of time passing, we could say, is contained in time being, in time being. Yeah, I put it on purpose like this is how it's translated, this definition of Dogen Uji, which is not being time. As I on purpose, this could be then I am time, you know, but I think it's nicer to have this time being, because it points more to this non-separation of being and time, and that the linear time, as I call it, is contained in this very moment. Yeah. So in time being, when there is this moment of completely realizing the non-separation with time, this very moment is not present time. That's an important aspect, because we have, of course, in the linear time, we have past, present, future. So this is what Dogen is quoting here, the time passing by. If the time was really passing by, we would be separated from it. But as we are not separated from it, yeah, time being, this very moment in that we realize time being is, well, the word is difficult, is difficult to find a word. I was told that, for instance, the great master Song Sanim, They would to point it out, they would just hit the floor with their hand, you know, to have this time being is like this. Of course, I like words, like Amy Roche, we are people of words, even if there are sometimes moments where we cannot say something, but maybe we could say something like nowness. Yeah, now, nowness, okay, yeah. It's not the same as present. Yeah. It's this very moment when there is realization that I am not separated from time. So that's an aspect in this koan. There are different possibilities, of course, to look at the koan. There is, of course, this aspect of the kale that's screaming, and Seppo is screaming, but I was really drawn to this subject of time being, like Dogen speaks about it in this text Uji. It's not the only one. In the Shobogenzo, you will find every now and then other references where it was also for him a subject that he was very thrilled about, and I feel very, very fascinated by this topic, by this aspect of our practice. And so the interesting thing is that if it is like this, that we are not separated from time, then how can we understand that the teacher says you should speak to Seppo about it? You see, you should speak to Seppo about it. It's very interesting. You know, he says, well, Seppo is long dead. So from the aspect of what we are looking at now, we could say, is it impossible to talk to Seppo right here, right now? Yeah. Is it impossible to meet Shakyamuni Buddha? We have a lot of koans and stories, you know, where it's said that we can meet Shakyamuni Buddha right here, right now. Yeah, we would say, what are you talking about? He's dead even longer than Seppo. Yeah. We might have, you know, our parents might be already have passed away. And someone would say, you should talk to your mother. And you say, but listen, my mother, she died 10 years ago. Yeah. From this aspect here of time being, what does it mean if we are not separated from time? Has our mother really passed away from a certain point of view? Of course, you would say, I don't see her around anymore. Her body is not more there. We had to sell the place where she was living and her things. And so, of course, there is this aspect. But there is also this other aspect, you see. We could get stuck into this perception of time passing by, being separated from time. Things are gone, you know, which gives us a certain notion of how we perceive reality. Yeah, how do we perceive reality from a point of view of time passing by, which means we are separated from time. Yeah, if we switch perspective, you know, if we just say, okay, let's look at it from another point of view of non-separation, of being one with time, time being. And time is not this linear time passing by. So how is it then, you know, with people who lived in another century, or even people who passed away that we don't see anymore? What does it mean? Even concerning our own life, you see, one day we will not be alive in this body anymore. You know, one day our body is impermanent. We're not going to stay in this form here forever. It's a clear fact. And in the same time, what does it mean when Dogen speaks of Uji, time being, not being separated from time? What does that mean? To what does it point? Yeah, what does it point to? What is it? Permanence, impermanence? How can we look at this? What is, in a certain way, the mystery we can pierce here? What is Dogen Zenji really pointing to? And he makes it very clear in this. It's really not an easy fascicle to read in the Shobogenzo. It sounds quite a little bit esoteric when you read it. And yet he points out how important this is. He even says it is our practice. We are not separated from time. And time, not being separated from time, is our practice. Yeah. So there's still a little bit of time. So this is something, you know, that if we that is very, very linked to You know, when we have been practicing maybe for a while, we have all these we hear a lot of things that we are being told. We read texts, and I don't know how it is for you, but for me, of course, there have been these moments, you know, where I thought it would be nice to get rid of the ego, or the egoing activity, as I prefer to say, to finally reach a moment of inner peace, of fearlessness, whatever we imagine, you know, we want to achieve with this practice. And when we talk of enlightenment, anyway, this is, then it becomes even more and more abstract. So this is something where we really, it's things we look at. And by looking at them, you know, they are placed in front of us. It's like we are having objects, even if it's objects of our mind, you know, but it's always something we are looking at. And if I have the feeling that to look at this aspect of time can be a very important key to all those questions that we have, to all those longings and desires that we have, you know, in relation to our practice. Looking at time and realizing, you know, in the first moment when we hear it, we think, wow, what is he saying? This is, I don't understand a word. What is this text from Dogen? What is this thing that I should talk to Seppo, who died a long time ago? What is this being one, time being? Yes. And yet, if I just, you know, if we just tell ourselves, okay, let's have a look. What is my notion of time? Yeah. How do I experience time? How do I experience time in relation to this feeling of being? To this very natural feeling of being, how is time, my notion of time, related to that? And to dig into this time thing. I can say that from my own experience, to constantly coming back to the aspect of time, what time means. You know, when you sit on your cushion, you have a lot of time to look at time. You can have moments where you think, oh my God, when is it finally going, the gong? It's last so long, my knees hurt, my back hurt, my, don't know, head hurts, headaches. Yeah. So you have the feeling, oh. Then you can have blissful moments where suddenly there is the gong and you think, oh my God, this went fast. Yeah. So we have this aspect. But this is always an aspect where we are looking outside, yeah, where time seems to be a dimension that is outside of ourselves. Yeah, it's like it's on the watch of the Jikido, but it's not here. And it's really, I think it's a wonderful invitation. It's a wonderful invitation to really say, okay, let's look at what time is here. We are invited constantly by Dogen. You've certainly heard it. Roshi certainly has told you often this turning the light inward, turning the light inward. So how about turning the light inward on our notion of time? And if we have heard that we are one with time, being and time is one and the same thing. Yeah, Dogen even says mountains are time, rivers are time. Yeah, birds are time, the sky is time. Isn't that interesting? One of my students who is smiling already, in German we would say like a piece of honey cake, he could give you I'm not going to go into this, but he would love it to give you an analogy of how it is considered today in quantum physics, yeah, because they have this thing too. I'm not going to do this. But it's an interesting aspect, yeah? It's a very interesting aspect that time is really something that is not happening outside of us. It's not something that is happening, you know, it's not a law, a natural law like the law of gravitation. Yeah, it's not. Even if you would say, okay, but I can see the sun is rising, that's the morning, then it's high up, it's noon, and then it's going down and it's the evening. So at least I can see, you see, there is the morning, there is noon, afternoon, evening. I can even say, okay, there is spring, there is summer, there is autumn, there is winter. Something's happening in time here. Yeah. Dogen even addresses that. It's very, very interesting. He would say, morning is not becoming noon. Noon is not becoming afternoon. Afternoon is not becoming evening. Same thing for the seasons. Spring is not becoming summer. Summer is not becoming autumn. And autumn is not becoming winter. So what does it mean? It's even for us, you see, when you have in the Heart Sutra, it says, there is no old age and death and no end to old age and death. So very interesting. You have time again here. What does it mean? Are we becoming older? Are we aging? You would say, of course we are aging. I look in the mirror every morning. God damn, I am aging. Yeah, when I look. I used to have brown hair. Where have they gone? Yeah. In a certain way, I'm going to say something very provocative, yes? From the perspective of time being, of not being separated from time, I never had different hair than white one. I wonder if you can understand what I'm saying. I never had different hair than this white one. And to those of you who are still young, you never will have white hair. What does that mean? It's a key, really, I tell you, if you pierce that one, there will be no more secrets for you, except the wonderful mystery of creation. Okay, I think I've talked enough. So if anyone wants to say something, share something, ask something, you are very welcome to do so. So I must say, I don't see all of you. So I don't know, Amy, do you have an overview of?
No, so I would suggest using the blue hand raised function in the participant. If you want to ask a question, you go into the participants file and raise your hand because.
So I have to go in the participants file and have a look there. I see.
And there's a button that says raise hand. Okay. You'll see the blue hand raised when someone wants to ask. Okay. There's too many to see on one screen, so which is wonderful, huh?
What, Joa, is that right? Are you raising your hand? Or you are doing something here, no?
He's recording.
Ah, okay. Oh, it's a recording. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I hope that's okay that we're recording.
Yeah. It's okay. You'll send me the link. Yes. Well, it seems I
smell. It looks like Krisha is raising her hand. Yeah. Go ahead, Krisha.
Good evening, all. I'm not finding the raising hand.
We have a device
in the Zoom. Do you hear me?
Yes.
So I don't know the answer, but I want to share this. That Cohen reminds me another Cohen that I'm being avoiding with my teacher. But I have another excuses because I have a lot of work and I'm with my children now. And, you know, I just need some time. But I remember about, you know, time. It's a convention for us humans. And I remember my child when she was younger. She's now 10. And I was talking about, well, when I'm older, I will be on my vacations and you in yours. And she looks at me really in, you know, what, mommy, you are going to to take your vacations with me all your life. And that strike me. Yeah, she doesn't have this notion of time. For her, it's now, and now she's with me and she wants to be with me. It's normal, you know, and the not normal, it's that she's becoming older and she will want other things. So that remind me that again, and let me see if I can pinch as you told us. Thank you very much for your talk and the con. Very interesting to open new ways to be in time.
Thank you very much, Krisha. Yeah, it's. I think it's the example you gave is lovely. I think it's lovely specifically with children, because children, of course, have a totally different notion of time. The interesting thing is that somehow we can use this, because what you were telling about your daughter is she cannot imagine another time than the one she's in. That's the interesting aspect. So that comes actually in a certain way very close to what we are talking about. Time being means in a certain way also that there is no, I'm not placing myself into an imagined other time, which for us is very normal as grown-ups. You know, you are saying, of course, I know she will get older and there will be a time when she will not want to go on holidays with me, which is the normal evolution of things. Yeah. But as you really pointed out, she cannot imagine that. Yeah. For her, the time is just that what is there. The smaller the children and they are, the less they can imagine that. So we can see there that the non-separation between being and time is still functioning. The difference is only, as we are told then later on in practice, it's very unconscious. It's an unconscious, it's being unconscious of oneself. There is nothing wrong with this. But there is a dimension of being unconscious of oneself and unconscious, of course, of that there is another possibility to look at it. What is our path, I would say, is that we can open up ourselves, because that's the important thing. The fact that we can situate us in a linear time is very useful. We need it. We could not meet here. We could not have met all at the same time if we hadn't agreed upon that on Thursday at 8 o'clock in the evening, everybody's going to come into this Zoom room. That's very important so that we can meet. The important thing is that it's not the only dimension, you see. It's what we need is the other dimension that is very natural for your daughter. If we can reunite these two, then we are completely free. Then we are really the big players, I would say. You know, we can, it's like juggling. In one hand, we have the linear time. In the other hand, we have what we call now here time being. We have this non-separation. And we realize, of course, there is this moment where we realize that even that is not separated. It's not separated, it's one thing. Yeah, it's one, it's not a thing, but it's one being, yeah. But it's, thank you very much for this little story. I think it's very nice and useful to look at this. Yeah, thank you. Miguel.
Hello. So what is, was coming is if time, it's a kind of dynamic of being. If even in a non-separation notion of time like nowness, and what is coming is, it's like this non-separation of being in time, of time being a dynamic, a mysterious, I don't understand it, a mysterious dynamic of being.
Well, I feel a little uneasy with the word, in this context, a little bit uneasy with the word dynamic, because dynamic, as the Greek word says, has already this, it has linear time in it, because dynamic is something that evolves, that is moving. Mm. Yeah. Whilst we could say that there is this linear time, it belongs together, it's like a cross, you see. So we could say the linear time is horizontal. Mm. And this time being, as we talk about it, this non-separation of time, we could say is vertical. Mm-hmm. So, and they both go together, you see? Yeah. So it's a sort of verticality of nowness. And I wouldn't say there is a dynamic there. It's mm-hmm. it's the realization, it's a moment, I would say, of the vastness of the sky. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't say that there is dynamic in the sky. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah, I wasn't understanding dynamic as a linear, yes, but as a kind of potentiality for movement, even if there isn't, in some sense, movement. But there is this richness of everything.
Yeah, that that speaks a lot to me, the potentiality. It's like you would say the sky, and there is the potentiality of all appearances in the sky, the birds, the clouds, the sun, the moon, everything. Yeah. That's the potentiality, is absolutely. Yeah, I would say that time being is potentiality. Mm. Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yogo.
So, thank you very much as well. Hello everybody. when you, like, at the end, or when you oppose those two perspectives, right? Like the linear one and then the other one, and you said, okay, in our everyday life, we tend to put more emphasis, or even only have the linear perspective, and we have to first of all, I think, generally see that there is another perspective, and then in the end, as you said, we have realized that actually they're not two even, so that's one and the same thing. But when I go back to what you said, that, well, I really liked, I mean, of course, we have talked about this before, but the point where you said, okay, like you never had, or you've always had white hair. So which implies that actually any notion of you not having or you're having brown hair or not having white hair, which we put in like in the past and say, okay, there was a time when I had brown hair, so that this this notion is actually arising in the time being, like, or in the nowness. And then I would like, if we say that, okay, in this nowness, I'm just being, and any idea of there being ever having been something else is just this arising. Like it is for me, then it's difficult not to think that this is actually the primary perspective or the more accurate perspective to how things are, because this perspective can include the other one, whereas the other one cannot actually include the absolute one. So, yeah, what is your...
I would say that I would agree with this, what you say, is that, like Dogen puts it also, he says the time being, so the in the non-separation, this very moment includes past and present times. It includes it. But we cannot say that the past time includes the present time. How should that work? Yeah. Maybe this is going to be a little bit difficult also to follow if I say this. It's a very, for me personally, it's a subtle difference. Like I wouldn't say I always had white hair. I wouldn't say that. I would say I never had other hair than the white one, which is really, it's a subtle difference, but it's, I see you, you know, it's from which perspective do I see it? And I'm not going to make it more complicated. Yeah, but that's, yes, yes. Yes, it's, I agree with what you say. I mean, it's like, you know, the absolute contains, this is now very tricky. I'm going really on ice now, on thin ice. Okay, but I'm going to say this. The absolute contains the relative in a certain way. But from, you wouldn't probably say it from the other, in the other direction. Yeah. I don't know if Amy Roshi would eventually contradict. Maybe we could have a discussion about this. But okay, I leave it at that. Yeah. I know. Tricky, tricky.
If she doesn't invite you back, you will know that she didn't agree with you.
Okay. I will know that she thinks, oh my God, I'm not going to let her talk again such nonsense.
All students confused.
Oh, but as I know my sister very, very well, if really it would be like this, that you are all confused, I think she would be very pleased.
I have to admit, I feel a little bit confused. So as you said, it's late in the evening. Yeah, my mind at least can follow up. So
yeah.
maybe
I absolutely agree, and I apologize for those who it was a little bit, it's not an easy subject. I mean, it's really it's not easy, but in the same time, I mean, you know, you don't have to find the answer tonight, as if we are talking from an answer. I mean, it's not necessary, but I think it's interesting to having heard that once, you know, to having heard that there is this aspect of Dogen speaking of that you are time. This is you, what? I'm time? What does that mean? And I think this is really, I felt very much invited with this koan. I chose it a little bit by chance, but when I read it, I thought, wow, nice, you know, speak to Seppo, who has died already a long time ago, and immediately this subject popped up for me. But as I'm very fascinated about it, it would probably pop up for me with any with any subject.
You have two people with their blue hands raised.
Oh.
Uta and then Juan.
Okay, you see more than I. So thank you, Amy. Thank you. I don't see it.
Hello everybody. So when I listened to you, Corinne, in the end, it was a little bit like circling around, and then it comes to me, that the language, so when we are talking, it's also linear, and it's very difficult to grasp the idea of time being if we are speaking, because we are speaking linear. So this moment or this time being, it's over. It's it's not possible to grasp with language.
Yeah. It's impossible to grasp it with language. You are absolutely right. Language is a dualistic tool. So of course, we try to come as close as we can, but this is why in Zen, there are a lot of stories where the people involved don't say something, but they do something, sometimes observe things, but their action points to exactly what you have been saying. This is very true. Very true. So
it was nice to listen to you.
Well, you know, actually, maybe you can all see it like this. The best thing that has been said tonight was that Amy Roshi introduced me as a storyteller. So I tried to tell you a story that might be a little bit different. There was no joke involved until now. But it's very true. It's words, you know. It's words. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Thank you, Uta. And then there was Ojoa, you said, huh?
Joao.
Oh, Joao. Where is he?
Here.
Oh, there you are. Yeah. Hi, Joao.
Well, first of all, it's really wonderful. I'm amazed to see so many people. We cannot even fill, we don't fit in one screen. We have some more people here. It's really wonderful. As you were talking, there was this word that you didn't use, but that kept coming to me, which was actualization, which actually is a word that for me, as always, I never quite knew what, I never know exactly what that is. And as you were talking, I remember in the ceremony that sometimes we have, that we do, there's this moment when we sing the names of the lineage from Shakyamuni Buddha. We sing, there's this long list of names. And we're not just, when we do that, we're not just singing a bunch of names. We're doing that, of course, we're saying all these names. We are actualizing those persons. We are those persons. I am Shakyamuni Buddha and so on and so forth. And I don't know why I was that's what was going through my mind at some point. When you were talking about time and how I contain that and how I am that and how each of us, we are that.
That's very wonderful. I'm very touched by what you say, because when we sing these names, as you said, we are singing the lineage, or the spiritual blood lineage. And it's very true. It's, we are every single one of those names. We are that. And actually, if we actualize, as you say, that, then there is complete non-separation. And it's the non-separation, you see, you could say non-separation with what? But it's really non-separation. It's just non-separation. And that's very, very beautiful. That's a very beautiful moment when we recite those names. And if we are able to realize that,
thank you.
Thank you very much, Joao.
There is also José Eduardo.
Oh yeah, I see now.
Hello, everybody. So my question is something that popped up while we were talking, and that relates to Dogen's words. I wonder why it connects time with being and not timeless with being. Because as I see, time implies, of course, renovation, death, and perhaps non-being. So I wonder, since you have been dealing with this koan, how would you rethink it in terms of realizing that there is this other side of this combination of words, time being and timeless? I would say that time is non-being. Perhaps this is too intellectual, and I would say that timeless is being. So my question is to ask you, how do you see this possibility?
Yes. how I see it is that I think it is very on the spot, very ingenious that Dogen uses time being and not timeless being. You see that now this will sound a little bit contradictory for you, but when we think of timeless, it's the problem that Uta has quoted already. Anyway, we are trapped in language. In language, we are trapped because language is constantly working only in opposites, in duality. So when we say one thing, we immediately mean the other thing also, but they seem to be in opposition to each other. So I think that, like saying timeless being, then there is an opposition created here that will increase the separation, you know? our natural notion of being is not linked to timelessness, not at all. You see, so this is really an I would say an intellectual jump we have to make. Whilst time being, like time being, is something that is really very much an immediate experience of ourselves that we can make in any moment. It's nothing abstract. Now, the important thing is that, how should I say, the not the opposite, but the other side, the other perspective of time being is not timeless being, not at all. It's beyond that. You see, this other perspective actually of time being is, well, now we are really in a realm where, you know, is. It's not timeless. And I think this is something very important, you know, to see that we like to think it's full or it's empty. There is time or there is timelessness. There is enlightenment or delusion. That's how we like to think. But that's not true. This is not what reality really is. And I think this, if we really try to dig into, to inquire this, what Dogen means with this Uji, time being, we can get a glimpse of this, that time being and the other perspective, or how should I say, it's the opposite or the other or whatever, is not timeless. It's outside of that. I mean, as far as I can say something.
Okay.
Thank you. What do I see? I think that was it. Well, what do you think, Amy? I think many words have been said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And unless someone has a final question, maybe we should finish with the vows. There is time for one more question.
Miguel. Your microphone is not on, Miguel. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Isn't that you never had white hair because you are not? In the sense of a person in a linear time. So in some sense, if we die to the notion of being in time, we can wake up to the nowness, to everything, to the oneness. And talk with I don't remember the name of the
of Seppo.
Seppo. Yeah. I'm sorry, it's of Seppo. Yeah.
If we are not, you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you are saying, and it's very interesting. You know, like we just said, language. We are trapped in language. Yeah. Still, language can be a wonderful radar. So if we watch what we are saying, when I say when, if, where am I localizing myself? When, if, mm-hmm. When, if, and then I will to, you know, It's very important to look at this. I understand you very well. I'm not saying that I'm not thinking like this anymore. I have a lot of when, if, and so. I mean, I'm not free at all of this. what I really would like to how should I say, to offer you all, even if what I've been trying to speak about tonight seems very difficult and esoteric and making knots in your brain, truly it is very simple, and it is something that is at your hand at any moment if you choose it. It's much more simple. I would be very happy if you don't let yourself be, how should I say, be irritated or be confused by the words that are being used here. The only thing that you can really take is just saying this. Someone said, I'm not separated from time. Someone said that I am this being me is something that is irrevocably, it's impossible not to be one with time. So, okay, they said this. Now I'm going to check. I'm going to look into this. It is your natural state. You know, you don't have to do anything for this. It's like saying, I want to be a human being. Well, you are one, you know? So you are not separated from time. You are, you know? We all are, and we all are not separated from time. Now, the only obstacle is that we don't believe, not believe, that we don't realize it, mm-hmm. You see? So actually what you can say, what you can also look at is, what are the thoughts I'm cultivating that hinder me to realize that I'm not separated from time? You see, this reminds me of something Adyashanti is another teacher that I really love very much. And I loved it that one day I heard him say, don't ask your, it's not fructuous. Do not ask yourself, how can I be enlightened? How can I finally be enlightened? It's much better to ask yourself, how am I unenlightening myself? You see, and it's the same thing. So it sounds difficult, but it's your natural state and it's there all the time. And if you can get in contact with this, then big freedom. Big happiness. At least that's what I wish for all of you and for all of us. Thank you very much, Miguel.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Corinne Rushi, Corinne Sensei. Tonight I made that little slip because I think of her as being like me. Thank you all. It's been a wonderful moment to share all together in this place that is not a place and in this time that is not a time. So we will chant the four vows in English. But of course, I think you do this as well in your various sanghas to mute your microphone. And you can chant them in whatever language you want, actually. And we have so many languages here that you can do whatever you want.